For those of you that do not know me, I am Tommy, and I am from Georgia. And you know how it goes. Get what you get. If I say anything that you don't understand, my wife's back there. She's got a Southern to Wyoming dictionary for you. So I'd like to welcome everybody, and let's get started. Today I want to talk about sins, but not the Ten Commandments. Everybody knows about the Ten Commandments. What I want to talk about today are respectable sins. Does anybody know what respectable sins are? Does everybody know? I know you do. Everybody who's in our Bible study knows. Respectable sins are sins that we tolerate, that we deal with on a daily basis, that we don't really pay attention to because we don't really know that they're sins. But they're the sins that God, or that Jesus died on the cross for. And it's the sins that we ought to look at every day. Respectable sins are ungodliness, anxiety, frustration, discontentment, unthankfulness, pride, selfishness, lack of self-control, impatience, irritability, anger, judgmentalism, envy, jealousy, sins of the tongue, and worldliness. All of us struggle with these sins every day. And they all affect all of us different. But if I try to talk about all of them, we'll be here all the rest of the day. There won't be no picnic. So I'm going to focus on some that I'm sure affect all of us more often than we really let on. And that is anger, jealousy, and sins of the tongue. What is anger? The dictionary defines it as a strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism. It's often accompanied by sinful emotions, words and actions hurtful to those who are objects of our anger. We get mad at work, we get mad at play, we get mad with our brothers and sisters, even brothers and sisters in Christ. We even get mad while we're driving down the road. Even Christ got angry when he cleansed the temple. So we all get mad, but what does the Bible say to do? James 1:19 and 20. So my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who persecute you. In Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, as Christ forgave you, so must you also do. In 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, cast all your anger to God, for he cares about you. Now we're going to move on to jealousy. Jealousy is defined as an intolerance of rivalry. There are legitimate occasions for jealousy, such as someone trying to win your spouse away from you. God even declares himself a jealous God who will not tolerate the worship of anyone or anything other than himself. Sinful jealousy occurs, however, when we are afraid someone is going to become equal to or even superior to us. Examples in the Bible are Cain and Abel. The Sadducees were jealous toward the apostles because the Jews were turning more to Christ. And the most famous is how King Saul was jealous towards David when he killed Goliath because the women were singing. Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his 10,000s. And we have the same jealousy in our bodies that they have. We all tend to become jealous of others because they tend to do something better than we can do. brothers and sisters get mad at each other. They're jealous. This child's getting more, or this child gets more love than this child. I'm lucky I've only got one, so she only gets jealous of the dogs. And we don't want other people to experience the success or even the blessings of God that we have experienced. So what should we remember? It is God who gives us our talents, abilities, and our spiritual gifts. So to commit jealousy, we must bring God into the picture. In 1 Samuel 2:7, all this is from God who makes rich and makes the poor, who brings low and exalts. Psalm 75:7, it is God who puts down one and exalts another. Just remember, God has a place for all of us. Some assignments are better than others, but all are important in the plan of God. Ah, here comes the good one. When we talk about sins of the tongue, what's the first thing that what do you think is the first thing that comes to mind? No, gossip. Did you hear what Sonia did at the food basket the other day? Oh my gosh. You know? But it's not, gossip's not the only one. There's more that we need to put with it. In this category, we also include lying, slander, critical speech, harsh words, insults, sarcasm, and ridicule. Anything that we are talking about or someone that we are talking to, if it tears them down, it's a sinful speech. Now I'm going to share something if y'all want to turn with me. To James 3, 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets fire in the course and of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up what it gives grace to those who hear it. I tend to think about what my mom always said to us when we were kids. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you a little story. As some of you know, I was laid off in January. That's when my trouble began. I got angry with those who laid me off and angry with the ones who got to keep their jobs. And there are a lot of sins of the tongue. I was jealous, and there was a lot of sins of the tongue thrown in there too, I'm sure. In March, my mom passed away under some pretty bad circumstances. And the anger built up again because I was mad at my niece, because I blamed it all on her. Then in April, my mom's life insurance policy came in. You know, we're laid off. We're not doing so great. So I said, well, you know, here comes something good's going to happen for me this month. Didn't do it. My sister and my niece decided that they were going to split that between themselves. And there wasn't really nothing me and my brother could do because we're stuck out here, both of us laid off, and no way to get home to fight it. So in a span of 4 months, I had so much anger built up in my mind, in my heart, and in my spirit that I just walked around in a seriously, seriously black cloud. It got so bad that I was getting some really severe headaches. I was throwing up, just nauseous all the time. But thanks to the support of my Bible study group, the men's breakfast, we just talked it out. And then one night I was after a men's meeting that Monday night. I was sitting out on the back porch, and just something came into my head, and it told me, you know, and I'm sure it was God, because it said, to be forgiven, first you must forgive. So I forgave everybody, and God forgave me. The headaches went away, the nausea went away, and now I know, you know, God's going to take care of me no matter what I do. But first, you have to ask to be forgiven. As Christians, we know when we commit these sins. God will let us know, and He will forgive us all, and all we have to do is pray. Isn't that simple? Just pray to God and He will forgive you. Remember, we all fall short of the grace of God. But because of Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. So my question to you is when God knocks on your heart, are you willing to let Him in? Are you willing to open that door? That's all up to everybody here. That's all I have. It's kind of short, but you can't never give up. If you have questions, you just ask God. And if you know, there's always somebody here at the church that will pray with you, that will, you know, just talk to you, like the men do with me at breakfast. If I didn't have them and the support of the Bible studies, I don't think I'd get through half the stuff I've gotten through. So if you're not involved in Bible studies, or just come to the men's breakfast, you know, there's always somebody that'll talk to you. Thank you. No.